Hello and welcome to the Lost World of Short Stories. I am your host, Lauren Tate. Today is Feature Friday, our second one. I'm really excited because today's poems are really great. As standard procedure, we have three literary works by some awesome Black women writers that are read by some wonderful Black women voice actors. And you know I can't leave the interview out, so I have had the absolute honor to talk with a young woman named Peyton Vaughn, who is a songwriter, singer, and musician whose EP titled Masquerade is out right now on Spotify. I really enjoyed talking to her, and I think you guys will really enjoy hearing from her. She made me realize that I definitely want more Black women songwriters on this podcast as well, so send me some suggestions on my Instagram at Lauren Tate Books. And well, I mean, that's pretty much it. I hope you guys enjoyed today's Friday features. And of course, I'll be back later on in the episode.
God's Final Plea by Terry Lopez, read by Destiny Shireen. My child, why is it so hard for you to listen to me? Aren't I the author with the pen who knows what's going to be? I give you discernment. Were you listening to his speech? You keep insisting that he is perfect for thee. Truth be told, he doesn't even belong to me. I love your persistence. It's a good trait, a gift directly from me. Albeit when I tell you something isn't meant to be, you keep asking, pleading, begging me. So my daughter, I love you. You have free will to be. I've told you countless times this one is not of me. You can make your choice. One way or another, you will see. Just know that if you proceed, I will turn my face away from thee. As one last olive branch, I give you dreams. Sleep, my child, and see the unseen.
To Be Free by Tierra Grace, read by Emma Jackson. There was a time when I thought that the color of my skin was something to be ashamed of. I would look at myself and think I was lesser than others. I will never fit in, I thought as I peered around my classroom and saw that there weren't many girls who looked like me, who talked like me, who lived like me. I started to associate being different with being a failure. I began to think that the only way I could live with myself is if I began to look like them, talk like them, and live like them. I wanted my hair to be straight. I wanted my voice to be high. I wanted to fit in so badly. I did everything I could to do that. It lasted a while. Soon I began to question what it was that I was doing. Pretty soon, I knew the jig was up. Sure, I could walk, talk, and try to think about what it's like to be with the in crowd, but I soon realized that all I felt was anger, sorrow, and guilt. I remember going home to my mother crying because I couldn't understand why I was so angry all the time, why I had no motivation to speak my mind, why I couldn't look in the mirror and say, I am beautiful, I am someone, I am me, I am mine. Sure, to some, it may be easy to conform to the norm. But I had to realize what was more necessary was finding myself and listening to my anxious thoughts and turning those thoughts into action. I took it upon myself to learn more about my culture, to learn more about me, to learn more about what it takes to be someone special. So, to the people who I wanted to be, who I deep down knew I never really wanted to be, you were my stepping stone to see that all I needed to be was free.
Ooh.
Oozing Sex Appeal by Journey Brown Saintel, read by Emma Jackson. I call him daddy. And when I get a pretty new dress, he makes me twirl in a circle for him. That's the length I like, he says. I hate it. It's demeaning. Sometimes I hold back tears. Sometimes I'm queasy during my display. Make no mistake, it is a display. I suppose the events of this poem are taken out of context. He is my biological father. When I get a new dress, he makes me twirl in a circle for him. That's the length I like. He says when it's at the modest length of above the knees or lower. Shed in a new light, the happenings are not illegal and are socially acceptable. They should not be socially acceptable. I am still displaying for a man twice my age that owns me by law. His goal is to make sure my clothing choices are not sexualized by others or by myself. He would probably have an aneurysm if he knew that I checked how my breasts looked in every shirt, that I checked how high I can get my skirt without being labeled a slut, how pouty my lips look, how long my legs appear, how round my ass is. I sexualize myself in the mirror every morning. I think to myself, do I look sexy? What others think I look sexy? The irony is, my dad instigated my thoughts and actions. In middle school, I could have cared less about how I looked or how others perceived my body. It was my father who would groan, "You look too good. I don't like it." It was my father who would glance at my breasts and proclaim, "Whoa, they're huge." Of course, it all came from a place of love. He would notice my body with fear. He would see the beauty in me and fear that others would too. Others who would abuse me, harm me, sexualize me. And maybe they would. But he was unknowingly contributing to the masses.
I love these poems. This Friday's lineup made me really happy. The poem, To Be Free, I like how it talks about being ashamed of your melanin, right? By it opens up the platform of feeling ashamed, but also growing through and past that shame to healing and to acceptance. And I like that it talks about that being othered. Right, as by your white classmates and peers and trying to fit into this European idea of beauty and talent. And one of my favorite lines from that poem is, there weren't many girls who looked like me, talked like me, lived like me. That whole sentence is the reason why I started this podcast, as you guys know. To just open up a space where we might not get all the representation of Black women, obviously, but we have a platform for it here, for our voices, for our representation. And even though we're hearing people's voices and stories and not seeing them, that's powerful enough, right? Because words do matter, our stories matter. And just to know that we can build a family and community of Black women on this platform just means the world to me. And in the poem, To Be Free, I love how the writer, how she started to, or how in the piece, she started to research and dive into who she was, right? And pertains to culture and her skin color. And she wanted to know what made her unique, getting to know yourself for yourself. Without someone trying to define that for you. And that's so powerful because as Black women, many of us have had to learn the hard way because of lack of representation, being looked down on or harshly judged because of our hair texture, the color of our skin, our bodies, instead of being propped up on display, you know, extorted, abused, and neglected. You know, it's the journey of struggling and finding out who you are for yourself. And as Black women, we absolutely understand that. I think I can speak for most of us in that aspect, as well for people who aren't Black women, right? And that will never get old. It will always be relevant. It will always be important. And we're going through self-discovery. We are allowed to help. When we are going through self-discovery, we're allowed to help pave the way for someone else, right? Because of the work that I've done on myself the previous years, and I'm not like perfect, obviously, but because of that work, I'm able to come on this podcast and to confidently bring other women along with me because I'm confident in who I am. And so that's just what we're all aspiring to be, right? Not only to walk in our gifts and our purpose for ourselves, but to know that the purpose is there so that we can bring other people along, so that we can get other people involved. Because this life thing is more than ourselves, right? So when we learn who we are, when we find out our talents and our gifts, and we're brave enough to walk in our purpose despite the situation, despite what people say about us, we're then able to pass the torch and to allow other people in our journey, because we did and are continuing to do the hard work that it takes to be a whole person, right? Not a broken person, not half a person, but a whole person. But that's a journey, and it takes a lot to get there. And so I love this short story of just embracing who you are, because that's where freedom lies. And the next poem that was featured, Oozing Sex Appeal, I love this poem in the way that it talks and discusses sexuality. I mean, it opens up the idea of having approval and permission over your sexuality by people who want to control the narrative, such as the father that was represented in this piece. He doesn't want to see his baby girl as a girl, right? But wants to keep her in this image that he deems appropriate. And even though it is in love, it can backlash in a way when we don't let people explore who they are for themselves. And I'm specifically talking about women, because we in history have had our sexuality oppressed. And though I don't agree with the way everyone explores that, I do understand it, because our sexuality hasn't been ours to claim. And then the poem also made me think about the way beauty is to be possessed, right? Much like sexuality, to be kept under wraps like a secret by the person or people who are in the most power to possess it, you know, because though sex is powerful, because it is not a power play or a means to display power, even though it is abused in that way in society. And so because of that negative and harmful perspective, we have issues like sexual abuse and sex trafficking, and even basic things like certain comments that boys and men say. And I know many women have been there. We can all immediately think of a moment, right, when a guy said a backward comment to us or touched us inappropriately that was offensive or dehumanizing to who we are. And so it becomes a journey that we take to reclaim who we are in our eyes and not the eyes of others. And I really love that. Definitely makes me want to meet more poetry about like sexuality and stuff. And I know there's a lot out there, and you know, because of life and busyness, I'm also trying to read and write and be on here for you guys. And so I definitely want to make time for that, because this poem just really like opened up that conversation. I'm very thankful for that. And then lastly, the last poem that was featured, God's Plea, right, by Terry. This was a beautiful poem. Like I always say, I am a woman of faith. So these poems like this always touch my heart in a way. And I was laughing because this poem, it just reminded me of when people try to ask for God's blessings for things or situations in their life, and they know they're not supposed to be with that person or in that situation. And because they don't want it to end, or like don't want to remove themselves from that place that, you know, they didn't need to be in the first place. They come to God and they're like, You know, they're like, God, can you bless this? You know, can you bless this? Can you bless this relationship that I know I'm not supposed to be in, or this job I knew I wasn't supposed to work at, but the money is like really good, right? And God is like, that wasn't my idea, right? That's not my plan for you. I can show you some grace, but I'm not about to bless that. And I think really people have to understand that God only funds his ideas, right? And rightfully so. I mean, it's like we have free will, but when your actions are aligned with God, like life is, it just isn't confusing or dreary. And that doesn't mean that we don't go through obstacles or hardships, but what it means is that when you come across a roadblock, God is there to help you, to help guide you through it. You know, because like the scripture says, he never leaves us. And so that has been my experience. I know many Christians can attest to this. And so at the end of the day, you know, it's about your faith. Like, do you have enough faith in God, you know, to put your trust in him and not human beings, because we are very fickle things. And are you going to surrender to his plan and not your own? And I know that's hard for a lot of people, but it's definitely something to think about. And up next, which I'm really excited about, is my interview with singer, songwriter, musician, and co-producer. Yeah, she's all of those things. Peyton Vaughn, discussing her EP Masquerade that is available on Spotify. So keep listening, keep tuning in, guys, because it's coming up.
Hi.
Oh, now I can.
Hello.
Hello. Your hair's
How
so
are you?
pretty.
Oh my God, thank you. You're so pretty.
Thank you. I'm so happy you're here. Oh my
Happy to
God.
be here. I had to finally meet you.
I
So
know. I
I've
know.
never seen you before,
Exactly.
right? Like my mom tells me, she's like, Peyton, there's this girl that goes to, you know, she went to U of M, she's in a film program, you should text her. And I'm like, okay.
She courted me at a party for that. I was like,
yeah.
okay, I'll do it right now.
Yeah, no. Yeah, my mom, she will do that.
I love her though.
Yeah,
That's
she's
so
great.
sweet. So just for everybody that's going to be listening, this is Peyton Vaughn. Did I say that correctly? Yes.
Yeah,
Okay.
she's the record.
She's a songwriter, which I'm really excited. And I just think, like you just said, I think it was funny just how this interview came into play, because the first and last time I talked to you was via text, and you were going to go to U of M. I attended there, and you were going to go there. And then I don't even know how I thought about you. I just think, like, I just remember, I was just like, Peyton, that sounds nice. Like, let's see what she's doing. And I just started, I was like, I'm starting a podcast, just reach out to everybody in my phone. And I texted you, and then I was like, did you ever go to U of M? Like, what happened there? And you were like, no, I just decided to write my own music. So, which I think is like so dope. So how did that happen? Like,
Music?
yeah.
Oh, man, I've been in, like, I took piano lessons since I was like 4.
Okay. Oh,
Yeah,
wow.
and then I learned the violin, and then I started teaching myself like drums and guitar and
Oh,
stuff. So
dang.
I always had an interest in music, but it was more so a hobby
Yeah.
than like
And
an
a talent.
actual.
Like, you just picking up instruments like it's a normal Tuesday.
And like I mean, I wanted to do film.
Okay.
That's my dream. I mean, it's still
Right.
my
Okay.
dream. That's still
Okay.
like the plan eventually, is to do
Okay.
film. But I don't know, going to school, it just didn't work out, especially with my like I have a chronic illness, and
Okay.
so going to just it really it's hard to find like accommodations and people like who will try
Yeah.
to work with you.
Yeah.
And then when I went to go visit U of M, it was
Yeah.
I was just like, I don't like the whole vibe was just off.
Okay, no, because
I
exactly.
was just like,
Because when you said you didn't go, I was like, good for her. Like,
was like,
I went there 2 years and I hated it. I just loved the professors, but I didn't really have any friends. I was just like, I don't believe in the people here. It was like an optical illusion. Like, I just did not have the time.
it just I just like being a woman of color in that very white space.
Oh, it was just, yep.
Like it just it really it wasn't a thing I wanted to go through at that so point glad. In my life. Like I didn't want that for myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I specifically went to school in Mississippi just to see some brown people before I went to U of M because I knew I wouldn't see anybody when I got there.
Yeah, it was
a hard mental struggle. When did you get the idea to write this album? And the album is called Masquerade, and it's an EP actually, not an album, not a full album. EP. And when did you get the idea to write this album?
I mean, it all kind of came about kind of just suddenly. Like my brother was like, 2 years ago, my brother was like I just got home from school and I wasn't going back.
Yeah.
And so my brother was like, hey yo, I got this guy who makes music. Let's go to the studio, let's do some stuff, let's just have some fun.
Right.
And I was like, okay, we can just have some fun. So we go and we start making like YouTube beats and we just start using it. And we like I started writing some stuff and it was kind of like it was all right. And I don't know, through it, I just really kind of started really like falling in love with it and doing it. And it really just, I don't know, it turned around for me. Because before I was never really good at writing music.
Okay.
I was like every time, like lyrics, like I could write melodies and stuff and but lyrics I was trash at writing. But I had a teacher when I was in Atlanta.
Yeah.
She made us write all the time and I hated it, but it made me a better writer. Like that's she was a children's writer.
Yeah.
She's an author. And she, like it like because she made us read, like we had a book every week we had to read, we had a test on it. We had like two papers we had to read. We had to read other people's papers and critique it. So much stuff. And even though I hated the whole process, like,
right,
it
right.
was horrible. Like never. She was a great teacher and she taught me how to like really put down what I'm feeling.
Yeah, those skills are like installed in you then. Dang. See, that's really nice. And I like what you said about that. So just having like not being a writer all your life and then kind of remembering what was taught to you before. And then you're just like, yeah, okay, I'm gonna give this a try because it's something that I like. I think that's cool. Okay, so you sent me three of your songs.
Yeah.
And the EP has six songs in total. Right, yeah. And I just absolutely fell in love with the songs. I was like, this is beautiful. which is saying a lot because I'm not, unfortunately, which is really rare, I think, I'm not a music person.
I'm not a music person either.
Really?
My Apple Music Roundup laughed at me. Like it laughed at me. It says, why do you even pay for this service if you don't listen to music? I don't really listen to music.
I don't either. And if I do, it's old school because no shade to anybody out there, but I don't think many people are doing music that I like. Like I'm just like, that's a nice little topic. You can turn it off now. Like I don't know. It's just not me. So, but when I listened to it, I was just like, this is so honest and it's so real. And there was this song, okay, I know other people might know, but I literally just came across her just because I watched movies, but 070 Shake.
Love her.
Okay, yeah, that's what your music room, it gave me those vibes. So I was like, yes. Like I was telling my dad because I listened to it immediately. Like, you saw how fast I texted you.
Yeah.
You felt me the songs. Great. I was like, no, I'm about to listen to it right now. Like, and I got up and I was like, the beats, Dad. Like the songs. This is great. Remember Payton? I know you've never met her, but she's good. Like I just went on a rampage. I never do that for music. So it was just a really great experience for me because I was like, I really want to interview her, but like the interview would be better if I actually like the music. So I do. So I was asking, like, what are your music inspirations? Like, do you have any since you don't really listen to music? Or because even, and then that's interesting too, because how did you even come to know your own style then?
I don't know. I like all different types of styles. Like right. I always say this, I like everything except for jazz and most country.
Okay, yeah. So,
but jazz is probably like a thing, it's a deeper thing than just the music because my dad loves jazz and so it inherently makes you want to, you know,
not got you jazz. yeah.
So yeah, but I don't know, I just I like all types of music. Like even though my Apple Music Roundup did laugh at me, the songs that I did listen to were very like, I listened to like composers, like just random composers
who
just do like piano and stuff, and then I listen to like certain rappers that my sister, because my sister's always like, she's always on the new tip. She always knows the new artist. She's like, Peyton, you got to listen to this.
And that's
like,
how my brother is. Yeah.
That's how she is. She's always, she's like, this person about to be big. Right. And she's never wrong because they do blow up.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the music, I don't get it.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so just like you were saying, that you like all types of music. So I know that in the short conversation we had via text, you said that the EP is, it's not just under one genre, which I love. And I automatically got that when I listened to it. I was like, oh yeah, you can take so much from this. And there's so many different influences. I'm not a music person, so I don't know those influences, but I know that they're there. because it's just like a really chill vibe. Like, so I was saying, do you just really think it's important for you as an artist to be under, not to say genre, but like alternative music, as you said? And then what was like your main reason for choosing that route to create music like that?
I mean, it's kind of like how I always created music, even like when I play music, it's always been rapidly different things. Like I'll get bored of something and I'll do something else.
Yeah.
And like it really, I don't know, that's just how my brain works.
Yeah.
Because like, I don't know, it's really with anything, but coming to music, I don't know, alternative really just hit the mark of like the different styles that people have in the alternative genre.
Yeah.
Is what I tend to, I don't know, more align with.
I like that.
And being a Black person in the alternative genre, you know, I feel like I can make some waves here, you know?
That's exactly what I was about to say, because I absolutely agree with that. I was talking to somebody else in our interviews, just saying how like the path looks different for people of color, right? And women of color specifically, to try to create these paths and like make, like you just said, make waves, right? Make different spaces for you that you feel comfortable, that you're free to create, that you're not just in a box. Because I feel like just by being Black, people already try to put us in a box. So when you like show up, you're like, okay, I got these skills, I can do this, but I don't want it to look like what y'all been doing, because that's not it.
Because like, I feel like it's harder, like as a Black woman, to really get to that height of notoriety. Because like, this is one thing I talked about with my sister the other day.
Yeah,
I like Billie Eilish music. I even love some of Billie Eilish.
I do too.
But if she was Black, she would be nowhere near where she is now.
Not at all. They'd be like, nowhere, oh, this underground near artist in this one cave across the Netherlands.
There's so many, like, they're like my sister introduced me to like a bunch of like Black alternative artists.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Like, oh, the music they make is mind blowing.
It's and yet so beautiful.
They will stay indie artists for the rest of their career.
Forever.
It's terrible. It's truly terrible, because that's what, it just, I hate that they put Black women in this, like, this is literally your ceiling, and that's how far you can go.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, ah, it's
yeah. Yeah. You know? Everything's just already like laid out, you know? And it takes a certain type of person and creator, I think, to break that ceiling, right? I think that's what our whole culture is about, when you finally get to a point where you're like, I need to do something different. But it's when you decide that, it's like you're reaching past the point where you're like, I'm going to be pissing all these people off. I'm going to be, by just doing what I'm doing, it's going to be like a rebellion. I didn't ask for it, possibly, but it's going to be that, you know? So it's like all these different, just all these different things that occur when you decide to be like, I'm just going to step out and I'm doing this for me. And that's what a lot of other people have said when I've interviewed them this past week. But I really like the album cover, the EP cover. Sorry, I gotta keep saying that. The EP cover.
Yeah.
Masquerade. Who did the art? How did you create the title? I mean, create the title and the album cover. Was it easy? How was that?
The title came kind of quick towards the end of completing the EP. Okay. Because I have this one of the songs I sent you, Facades, there's a line in there
masquerade is my casual day.
Yeah, I wrote it down.
Line. I was like, that's a sick line. I can't believe I wrote that. I was like, okay, masquerade, that's gotta be the name of the EP. I was like, that's the coolest line in all the songs. I was like, I gotta put that. That has to be the name. So I chose that.
I love that. And I like the red and black.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very like, you know, like you're not coming, like we're not coming here to play necessarily. Like it's a very chill vibe, but it's like I also got something to like tell you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The concept with like I was talking like with the graphic designer with the EP was people really getting to know who I am.
Yeah.
Because like a lot of my life I put up a mask because it wasn't really told to me until I was at my therapist, like a new one. And she was like, because we were sitting across from each other and she was just looking at me and I was like, what's up? And she was like, you know, you wear a mask because she was like, I can see it because you hide your pain from everybody else. Mm. And it really resonated with me because it was something that I didn't know I was doing, but I was.
Yeah.
Because it's a thing, because it's a saying, I have a saying that sick people make people uncomfortable. Mm. And so I try not, I don't, like, you look at me now, like, you couldn't tell, like, I was in pain.
Right. Know?
So it's like, I'm used to putting up a mask, okay. And I wanted people to
show. A defense mechanism of sorts, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, to protect yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting what you said, because I think talking to other Black women, too, that we realize earlier on that we've had, like, just a natural instinct to do that. Like you said, nobody told you, right? But because of your surroundings or your own personal situations or both, you know, you're just like, oh, okay, your body just kind of goes into like survival mode where you're like fighting to live, but you don't really realize it. Yeah. And I think you really touched on something there because that's very true. And we do, I mean, I think every person to a certain extent ends up wearing a mask at some point, but it's like, are you going to be conscious of that? How to become conscious of that? And then who sees the real you, right? Who is allowed to see those parts of you, those vulnerable parts of you that you're just not gonna share with everybody all the time, you know? So I really love that, yeah. Mm. And your music did that because, okay, so I just wanna get into these three tracks that you sent me because I wanna talk about them, I wanna cry over them, I'm just like, yes, on the inside. So, okay, so the three tracks you sent me was Blue Moon, Indecisiveness, and Facade. Okay, so just one thing that I was saying that I had wrote down in my notes to myself was that all of the songs, which I'm pretty sure your other songs are probably like that, but all of them, they're very honest and raw. Like when the beat drops and the first line comes, you know, you sing the first line, it's so open and it's so vulnerable. Like you don't say a whole bunch of background and a whole bunch of fluff and then get to that part in the middle, you know, you're like, no, like this is the facade. Cause I think even, and the one things, what did you say? In Blue Moon, which is one of my favorites, I was like, we just gotta run this again. Like my dad was laying on my bed. He was like, she knows what she's doing. But you said, it seems like I'll lose no matter what I do. And another part is if I could just have a little bit of luck, right? The sun would turn into the moon. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
that's one of the lines. I know they switch, but I was like, oh my god, what? Like I typed it out so I can really
that was a hard week for me. Like I'm gonna be honest, that week was hard.
Yeah, but it comes through the music.
Yeah.
What was, I mean, if you don't mind sharing, just not the whole story, but like what was hard about
I mean, okay, so I went to the doctor. I mean, it's kind of funny now, but yes. I went to, because, like, thankfully, it wasn't true.
Yeah,
okay. I went to the doctor, and like, she gave me a diagnosis, which I was like, that cannot be true.
Yeah,
it is physically impossible for that to be true. She was like, nope, you have it. So we took a test, and I had to wait a week for the results to come back.
Oh God, not the waiting.
And I was just like, are you kidding? If I have this too, I will be so upset.
Yeah.
And you know, it turned out not to be true, which I knew. I was like, it can't be. But yeah, but thank,
yes.
That week was just.
That sounds like a lot.
So all I could do was write down.
Right.
Write it down. You know, that's all I could do.
Exactly.
At that point, I was just like, I'm gonna write it down and it'll make a great song one day. Right.
To share with other people about the rough things that are going on.
Yeah.
And I love that because I was just thinking about like how as artists and creatives, we you know, we put our pain, right, and the things that we go through into our art. And so sometimes, like I was talking to another person that I interviewed, Geneva Lalonde, who is a writer of horror, but she was talking about writing her characters, and she was saying that she was like, people just think I just write this stuff, you know, out of the air. She was like, but I wrote this character because I needed her. Like, she was there for me. Like, this writing was here for me when no one else was, when I was really going through something and, you know, only I could, you know, just get it down to express what I was feeling. And I think that's kind of what you were saying in that week that you were really dealing with that news where you were like, no, I just can't, like, I can't accept anything else that's coming at me like that. Like, this is yeah. crazy. Yeah. And, you know, you were like, I'm gonna write it down because I don't got no other option. Like, you know, and I think, at a certain point, like people, other artists who aren't Black or who aren't Brown, you know, they obviously do that as well. But because we've been oppressed and because as Black women specifically, our struggles have been pushed down and ignored just in certain atmospheres, societal wise as well. You know, like I said, it is that lifeline because you're like, I'm not writing music just for the fun of it. I'm writing it because I need it. Like, you know, even though you might not understand what it looks like at the time, you're like, oh, that was really a great song. Like you said, it's laughable now, but you're like, it was also real when it was happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I absolutely understand that. Indecisiveness. Mm-hmm. I really like that one. I think, what did I say? But I wrote a note. Oh, okay, yeah, because like I said, it's just raw and honest off the bat. Self-loathing is my sickness. I was like,
yeah,
I was like, oh, she's hitting us with it, she's coming through.
Oh yeah, that was the week I wrote that. It was a really weird week too. It was a weird week because I was actually I went to Italy that week.
Wow.
Yeah, because I was I was
first time
I was going to Italy. Like, we went to Venice, we went to Milan, and we went to Rome.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, me and my mom, and we took trains, and we did the whole thing.
I love that.
Great. And, like, I don't know, it's just when I was doing it, because I was like, this is it, this is going to make me happy, you know,
yeah.
This is going to be the thing, I'm going to look, like, and it was a cool trip, right? But on the flight home, I was just like, oh, no.
Did it creep up on you?
Yes, it creeped up on me, and I was like, oh no. I was like, oh, this wasn't it. I gotta find something else. I gotta keep
that is interesting. So two questions there. So do you battle with self-loathing, like that feeling specifically? And then two, how do you work through, like, what defines your happiness? Like, how do you find happiness as you journey along? Because we know it, you know, things, it can tear it down. So how do you kind of stay stronger? Mental health, like, what does that look like?
Honestly, I don't know.
That's real.
Like, I wish I had an answer.
Yeah.
I've been working on it, you know.
Yeah.
I have my therapist and everything, you know. I
think that alone says a lot too.
Because I mean, I think, yeah, I think everybody needs a therapist.
Everybody
needs to talk to somebody
who
is neutral and who, like, it everybody needs it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I agree.
You know, I mean, he just tells me a lot to, like he tells me to find, you know, what makes me happy and what does make me happy, to really focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like music, you said, just like focus on it, like focus, like even though like you have this sinking feeling,
yeah,
you know, just focus on the things that make you happy and the things you want to do. And I told, like, the things I want to do, like, is just like be with my family, because I love, like, I love my mom, I love my sister, I love my brother so much. So like, that's that's really what I try to focus on. And like this whole music thing, it's like a collaborative thing with me, my sister, and my brother. Like my
I
brother,
I love that.
He's like my little de facto manager, you know. He knows people, and so he does everything, you know.
Yeah.
And like he hooked me up with the producer that I work with.
Oh, nice. Like, okay.
And stuff. And like my little sister, you know, since I don't drive, she drives me everywhere. Like
I don't drive either.
You don't drive?
Mm-mm.
It's hard.
I learned how, and then I think at one point I just freaked out of being on the road. And then I was like, when I end up living by myself, I was like, I'll drive. But I told my parents, I was like, when I have a consistent income, I was like, I'm getting a driver because I just don't want to do it. They were like, yeah, that sounds like you. I was like,
yeah, I told mom, I'm going to get the Cybertruck.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm going to get the Cybertruck, and it's just self-driving. So I don't have to do it. Like,
it's okay. Cause it's heightened my greatness, like my gratefulness, I should say, like, because I, you know, when you are waiting for certain people and you have to rely on certain things, and I don't go a lot of places because I'm an introvert, so it's not even really a problem, but mm-hmm. but when I do go somewhere, you know, it's I'm very thankful and I'm very patient, so I think it's also helped me just with that, because who wants to be rude when somebody has to take you, like, you better stay in the house then, I ain't taking you.
Exactly.
Nowhere.
Exactly.
But yeah. I really like that. Do you, and oh, just a side question, mm-hmm. do you feel like you deserve to be happy?
I feel like everybody has the capacity to be happy. I just feel do I deserve to be? If I'm going to say everyone, then yes, I do. Everyone deserves to be happy, and I'm everyone, so everyone, yes, I do.
Okay, I like that.
Yes, I do. Yes.
I like how you weaved it in together. You're like, wait.
Yes.
You do deserve to be happy, by the way.
An access for me to be happy. Yes, I deserve it. it's just it's hard, you know, cause some people, you know, like certain things just hit different for certain people, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't like when like people try to minimize like something someone else is going through because you would handle it differently.
Yep.
I hate that. Like when people say like, you have a lot of money, why aren't you happy? You have everything, you know. Mm-hmm. And that is, it's like, I just feel like even if I did have a lot of money,
you're still human.
Exactly. Like,
yeah,
you could still be sad. Like, you mm-hmm. still have the capacity to be sad.
Yeah. And it's definitely an issue in society because we just kind of toss people aside when we seen that they've, you know, in quotes, made it. And they're at a certain point in their life, probably that where we want to be or something like that, you know, and people don't want to look at their own stuff. And they're like, you know, you've got the money, you got the family, you've got the kid, you've done it. I don't know what you're complaining about. Shut up, yeah. You know, and it's just like, well, dang, like I'm still struggling. You know, I'm still going through this. Wait a minute. Like I can't get no help just because.
Exactly.
So I think if we're just, you know, practice just being more kind, not only to ourselves, but just to other people, you know, and it starts with us, just like how you were saying, just through this whole journey, because if we can't, you know, give ourselves a little bit of love and a little bit of kindness, how are we exposed to extend that to other people around us? Mm-hmm. You know, so I agree. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the last song that you sent me was Facade.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just like bolded this whole sentence. Wow. Okay, so where you were like, I swear I'm fine, but I might lie to make you feel good. You should feel good. Is that how it goes? And then one part, you was like, I'm going through the motions. And I was just like, why is this speaking to my soul? Because I've been there where I'm just like, you have a pile of like your mess. And you're just like, let me just shove it down there. And hello, yes, hello, hi guys. Like, you know, you're like just going through like so much on the inside. Tell mm-hmm. me about this process that you were talking about a little bit before.
Yeah, I mean, with Facades, I think that was like the second song I ever wrote.
Oh wow.
Facades, yeah.
Okay.
And so I wrote it kind of about my mom and my mom and our relationship.
Okay.
because a lot of the times I will tell her I am fine, even when I'm not. Yeah. Like, just because I don't want her to feel bad, because I know she internalizes my pain as her pain too. So I don't want her to feel bad, but I know, like, she feels it anyway, even though you know
right,
because she can see that I, you know, I'm not doing everything I want to be doing, and it, I know it can, like, I know it hurts her. So I wrote that. Like, and I think in the song I also say have a line somewhere near the bridge. I say, here, I can look it up. Let's see.
Okay, yeah. Take your time.
I say, I take all the pills you give, I take the medicine.
I wrote that last piece down.
That was like a whole phase of my life, like between like 13 to like 18, where like we were trying all these remedies. And like towards the end of it, I was just being like, I was tired, you know, I just didn't, it just like one remedy after the other and like kind of working, and I was tired, but like, doing it because I knew my mom, you know, you don't want to give up. You don't want to be seen as like giving up. Like my mom, you know, and I didn't want her to feel bad. So I kept I kept doing all these things, you know? So
that makes a lot of sense.
Did
you,
she really, like, I know now, like, she still looks for stuff, you know, to help me. She doesn't really, like, try to, you know, overbearingly do it. Like, when we were trying to find, you know, cure, you know.
I think that's, I mean, I obviously can't speak for her, but, I mean, that's a journey within itself, because, you know, when you love someone so much, right, then you just want to do everything to help them, even though you kind of see them being like, okay, I know she doesn't like this, I know this person doesn't like this, but we're in this together, you know. So, but I think that's still beautiful, the fact that you guys, I mean, because we all deal with stuff in personal relationships, but that you guys are still strong. I mean, I think that's beautiful. Did you share this song with her after you wrote it? How did she feel?
She loved it.
She did?
She loved it.
I love that.
She loved
it. It's me and her both. That's so encouraging. Okay, let's see. I have a few more questions, but so before I move on to the next one, how did you get to the point of sharing your feelings in your music? Was it just that it was a lifeline? Like, because I mean, it's one thing to write a song, right, and then have it stay with between you and the paper, you and the, what, you know, in the studio, but then to be like, no, this is an EP, this is a project, and not only is it what I put myself in, but I'm also going to share with other people. I think that's also bold, because even the things that you talk about in your music, you know, the masquerade and, you know, hiding your emotions and suppressing this stuff, just you talking about it is kind of being like, I dealt with this behind the scenes, but I'm also like slowly peeling off the mask. Like, how did you get to a place where you're just like, okay, I'm going to open it up for others?
I mean, I feel like that was really the only way I could do it. Because of the things, like when I listen to music and I hear like the things they talk about, I don't know, it's not something I can really relate to. Like, I don't really party, I don't drink
either. This is what I'm saying, exactly.
like I don't really I don't drink, and like I don't talk about significant others, like I'm not,
yeah,
and so that really shaped how I started writing my music. Cause I was just like, well, once you really, you know, get rid of like all the easy stuff to write about, it's so easy to write about love.
It is.
Like, it's so easy
to
write.
This is so helpful for me, this conversation.
It's so easy.
Because those are none of the things I don't talk about either.
It's so easy to write about it, but I don't know, it just didn't feel authentic to me because I've never been in love. And so like, when I talk about love or like feelings in my music, it's really more a love I have between like me and my mother, or me and my like brother and sister. It's not me and another person. Yeah.
I love
that's
that.
That's what I've experienced. So
That's really beautiful. And I think it's also too important to highlight just that it's important how we experience day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes when we, listen or watch Black people's stories, hear them tell their stories, whatever, it's always just in one way, like, you know, you came off the streets or you're doing the drugs or we were abused. And it's like, that's valid. It's very valid. But also, why can't we just get what everybody else has, which is, you know, little Susie enjoying her Wednesday and sharing her family. And it's like a whole show about that, but you don't see no Black people just happy and loving their dad and mom.
That's another thing. Like my sister and I, like, have you watched Lovecraft Country?
No, and I want to, my dad loves it. I know.
Hurt me physically.
I know. As a film person, I am watching to it. I am. I'm getting to it.
It's literally the Black TV show. It literally has poetry throughout, like Black poetry throughout the show. How have you not seen it?
I know. I've been getting my subscriptions together, so it's coming together. I promise you. I promise you I will be better.
But in that, like, I really I want to see Black people in outer space. Like, I want to see them doing stuff, you know? I don't want to see Black slaves no more. I want to see...
Oh, God.
I don't want Lupita Nyong'o to be playing another slave again.
Why does our history start with slavery?
For playing, you know, what all these other white women are playing, you know?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, we need those roles. We need those songs. We need those books. Like,
we need those things.
We do.
We need them so bad.
I agree. Oh, gosh. This is such a great conversation. Okay, so not only did you write the songs on your EP, but you co-produced it, you said.
Yeah.
What was the process of creating that? Like, because I love the beats and everything, and I was just like, yes. So how, was this your first time, and then how did it go?
It's my first time, and I'm still learning the software.
Okay, for sure.
Right? But really, at first, it was finding the right producer who would work with me, because I want to be in, like, a lot of them just want to send you beats.
Yep.
Like, and that's it. Like, okay. You like it or no, you know. But I was like, I want to be in there. Like, we're going to collaborate together. I want to be playing my instruments, and we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And so I really made that like a focus when I was trying to find, and it was very hard to find, but I eventually found a producer, my friend. He's a bit younger than me. His name's Tree. He's a great producer.
Love it.
Awesome. Great artist. And we really collaborated on, like, I would just like play melodies on the piano, and then he'd be on his laptop, and then we'd be playing a guitar and like trying to get it in time, like working hours at a time, trying to do it. You know,
it was a lot of late nights.
A lot of late nights, lots of studio sessions, lots of money.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah, so I'm like, whew, that money. It's not cheap.
This is true. I hear people talk about studio time, and I'm just like, wow.
Yeah, studio time is.
But yeah, I feel like if you're really going for it, like, you just, it's the sacrifice for the reward later on.
Yeah. You feel like, you know, that's what we all hope for, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know? I tell my mom, it's an investment. I tell my mom, it's an investment, you know?
It is. It definitely is. Definitely taking risks too, you know? Being bold enough to take risks, because I think everybody just wants the process and the journey to always be so laid out step by step. And it's like, you just got to surrender to the fact that we're not going to get that. Mm. Like, you might get a couple crumbs here and there and like one great person, you know, that you can work with, but you're not just going to get it from A to Z. Like, this is the whole plan. And if you do, it's fake and somebody lied to you. So something's gonna be changed, and probably for the best. But
yeah, you know. In the music industry, like I don't like just being in it for 2 years, mostly based in Detroit.
Yeah.
Ooh, you gonna meet some people. Oh my, like they gonna try to swindle you. They gonna try everything. Like I've learned a lot these past
years
about the music industry. And it's in Detroit, and we don't even really have a music industry, and that's how it is here. it's very contentious with the people you try.
Yeah. Oh wow, that's good. I think too, because what I remember, like just being in school, and I mean, I think my parents just also raised me that way, but it was nice to be in school, like high school and college, just hearing professors say, telling us as students and as artists that, you know, when you get out there and you have a project and you have a vision, like you got to stand behind it, because people will come and just wipe it, just like take it, or they'll change it into something else. And since if you're not in the middle of it and not voicing, you know, if your voice isn't at the center, you know, you'll be like, wow, the project gets done, but it looks like Johnny's vision, not mine, you know? So I think that was, I think that's very good that you said you learned that over the 2 years, you know, just navigating that way. That's just like, okay, these people aren't for me. This isn't for me. This is where I really want to be. How does that look? You know, I always tell people, I think it's very, it's also a great thing to know everything that you don't want.
Yeah,
you know, to get to where you do want to be and what you do like if you got to start with all the things that you just absolutely like heck no, then I think start there, you know, but you're starting. What was the most rewarding part of the process, whether that's writing, co-producing, like just in the making of the EP Masquerade, like what would you say?
Like there were some ups and some downs.
Yeah.
But I think the most rewarding, I don't know, is probably when I'd like send it to like my friend.
Okay.
Is this you? Is you? It's great. Wait, is you? And I'd be like, yeah, that's me. You'd be like, that's crazy. Those reactions are kind of cool, but I think the best is my sister, because she will tell you truth like no matter what, like that's her thing. She'll tell you, she'll have a deadpan face and she'll tell you like whatever you need to hear. And when she would tell me that's trash or like that's amazing, when she said that's amazing, it would hit. But even when she say that's trash, I'd be like, oh my God, thank God she's telling me the truth.
Exactly. She ain't having you out here looking crazy.
Exactly. I was like, you cannot have me out here like releasing trash music.
You cannot release something great.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. That's real. I like that. What is your goal as an artist? Like, what do you want? Well, let's just start there. What is your goal as an artist? And then I'll move on to the next one.
An artist, I mean,
do you have any right now? Because that's real too.
I mean, I got a goal to just like more people to hear my music.
Just want
people to hear my music.
Yeah,
that's the goal.
To the concert.
Whenever.
You're gonna be singing somewhere, and I'm gonna be there. Me and my bald head, we gonna be somewhere in the aisle and be like, hey. Yes. I agree. I think that's cool, because just sharing it with more and just, you know, being able to, you know, share your work with other people. I think that's all many artists want. That's what I want.
And like saying, it's kind of like petty of me, but I really wanna like all the like naysayers when I was younger.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there were so many when I was younger and I was going through like the whole like illness thing when they were trying to diagnose me, trying to figure out, there was like a lot of naysayers, and I was just so bad, like when I release this and they hear it and they'd be like, oh man,
right. Some of them will come crawling back just to say something.
Yeah,
you know they do.
Yeah, I know.
I already had
a few crawling back.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it'd be the ones that's been watching you the whole time. Those are the ones that start early. They're like, oh.
It'd be the ones who always be watching your story, but never be liking your pictures.
Yeah.
That's exactly who it, who it is. Those
the exact the whole time.
The whole time. They stay glued to your stories. The first person to watch your story, but never like a picture.
Lurking in the shadows, just so shady. Like,
so shady.
Just say, hey, don't be shy. Like, oh my God. What do you want people who listen to your music to know? Is there anything specific like that you just want them to like take away or get from your music, or a certain feeling you want them to have?
I mean, I just want them to know, like, I don't know, this is me, like, these are my feelings, like,
this yeah,
is, like, this isn't, like, a character or something, this is
right,
me.
Yeah, it's you in the music.
Yeah, it's me in the music. These are, mm-hmm. these are, this is basically all my pent up emotions and frustrations.
Yo, this is a diary. It's yeah, a journal.
It's a journal. Throughout the years, I put a lot into this, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I want them to take away that, you know, this is a part of me, you know. It's for them to see like how I actually think and how I actually feel.
Yeah.
That's yeah,
kind of peeking behind the curtain a little bit, right? Just being vulnerable and sharing that with your fans and whoever comes across to listen to your music. I like that. Okay, so one last question. What are three things you would tell Black women who want to write music?
Be true to yourself is one. Mm-hmm. Like be authentic. Like, cause that's one thing, another thing that my sister really pressed on and be about. She was like, Peyton, mm-hmm. like whatever you write, whatever you do, it has to be from you. It has yeah. to be from yourself. You can't be like any of these other artists because yeah. that's not you. Like right. she's like, you're a very specific person.
Yes.
Like you're very specific. You cannot yeah. be out here saying like, you know, you like to go party and get drunk and like do stuff when you don't.
And looking crazy, right?
Exactly. Like you don't. So it's yeah. like, so you gotta be, so I'd say, yeah, just really be authentic. And I mean, just trust yourself really. Yeah. Like just trust.
That's a big one.
Trust that like, even, like there's gonna be a lot of downs. I quit like 15 times in the past 2 years. Like there will be, like I quit probably like a week ago. Like I'm telling you, it will happen often.
That's me.
Like you will quit so many times.
Yes.
You'll be frustrated, you'll hit roadblocks, and you'll get setbacks, but it's all going to eventually work out. You just gotta yeah. going
yeah
like, just keep going
yeah
that's like don't listen to any of the just keep
yeah
going
block like, it out
block it out like yeah. just like that's really that's the thing like for me like I just
yeah.
I had to put like all the bad stuff that happened I just had to put up my binders
mm-hmm.
have a little cry about it talk to my therapist with it
yep and move on yeah keep moving yeah. forward
moving forward
yeah I like that that's good those two we don't even need a third one that was good
third one so that's great
yeah, that was it
no one has ever asked me for advice before so
huh?
I was like I've never given advice
that was good though that was good.
Oh my God I thought like I tend not to give advice on purpose just in case you follow it and it doesn't turn out well
warning like that was good well thank you for being here this is Peyton Vaughn everybody with her EP Masquerade by this time this will be uploaded this will already be out so just tell everybody where they can find it if they haven't found it yet already
you can find it on iTunes Apple Music Spotify Tidal right. Pandora
Shazam. He got you covered right
Anywhere they have music to
yes.
buy,
there is no reason, right? Why we shouldn't be listening to it? It's here for us.
It's gonna be everywhere on YouTube. Go. It's gonna be everywhere.
Yes, I love it. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming on my new podcast.
Thank you for having me on your new podcast. It's great. You just hit me up out of blue, and I was like, oh, this kind of
right. I was like, sometimes I know how it is, like, connecting with other introverts and other artists. Everybody's like, wait a minute, give me some time. But I was like, she just jumped on. I'm like, thank you.
Heck yeah. Always bound to support.
Yes. Hope to talk to you later on, or, you know, some other time. I definitely want to have you back.
Of course, man. I'd be happy to be back.
Thank you. Yes. Well, I'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.
I hope you guys really enjoyed this episode. This has been one of my favorite ones so far. And because I believe in transparency, you know, I have for sure thought about giving up and quitting on this very podcast. I know, so hard to imagine. But that's just being real. You know, I think there was a moment in the interview where Peyton says, you know, she says, like, I quit last week, you know, when she's talking about the process of making her music. And I feel that, like, it can be so hard and sometimes discouraging, and you can be clouded with doubt and feeling like you can't go on and, you know, what am I doing this for? But I am constantly learning to be a master over my mind, right? My mind doesn't rule me. I rule it. And just taking one step, one moment, one day at a time, because if you just start with what you have, right? That passion, that love for whatever it is you're doing, you got to keep going. You can't give up, because it's more than just you, right? Like, we're counting on you to keep going. We're counting on you to try and fail and try again. And at the end of each episode, when I tell you guys that you are loved, you are important, and your story is worth being told, I tell it to myself too. You know, there are a lot of times the mantra you have for other people is for you too. So I just wanted to share that, because when you share things, you're not alone in it. And here on the Lost World of Short Stories, we're about community. And I just wanted to say, if you made it this far, thank you for listening. It means the world to me. When I was thinking of giving up just literally last week and hadn't even told anyone, you know, God just sent like 5 people with the most beautiful messages on how this podcast is helping them in some way. So thank you. Thank you. And don't forget to subscribe, guys. Add to your favorites and share. Share with anyone you can. And follow me on Instagram at Lauren Tate Books. And if you just want to know more about me, what I do, what I'm about, you can visit my website, laurentatebooks.com. Because whether we have 5 people or 500 people, the Lost World of Short Stories isn't going anywhere. And just, you know, never, never forget that you are loved, you are important, and your story is worth being told. It's funny how your lips crinkle upward at the corners of your mouth like that. Like they're hiding tucked away in someone's pocket during a rainstorm. I wondered how you'd taste if my hunger was still there. If it had shown up at the right time for anything that mattered with any time that we had left. Maybe I missed it because I'm bruised. Rubbing bricks against my skin and breaststrokes never felt so good. No, wait. Dang. It's my mind again. Slipping into old habits, trying to reclaim a piece of history I buried in the woods. I'm at a point where I can no longer apologize for the scars that you see so clearly. Sorry I can't scrub away the ugly. Sorry my mask fell all the way off. Not sorry. I didn't feel like putting it back on.